I became very fascinated by paintings of Dürer. And I discovered that Dürer was a child prodigy. And there are some self-portraits of Dürer done at the age of 14 or 15, and one of them is with a pillow near his head, and the pillow is as big as his. And then there is another drawing of pillows only. And suddenly this pillow that I left my home in Vilna came between Dürer and myself. So this was a very, 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 very strange thing. One of his most fascinating creations was this engraving called the Melancholia, where you can see an angel, a brooding angel sitting among all kinds of objects. All of these objects had then, in that time of history, specific symbolic meanings. But what was mainly important for me in that image of the brooding angel in a world in which there is a rainbow, and the rainbow was a promise of God that there will be no other flood. And yet, there was a flood. The Second World War was a terrible flood. So how did Dürer already foresee that in there? And then I knew that when Dürer made that, he was a man of the Renaissance. He believed that the world is moving from an era of darkness into an era of light. He believed, you know, that the Renaissance will be this age of enlightenment. And I was a refugee of a world that moved from a belief in enlightenment into a world of darkness. So somehow I felt an enormous affinity with that brooding angel who has no answer. And I started to paint some paintings. And because I created a triptych with the angel of Dürer, and because I also painted the four evangelists based on the painting of Dürer that lose the ground under their feet. The German Institute of Studies of Dürer and the Dürer Gesellschaft in Germany, and then finally the National Gallery in Nuremberg decided to have an exhibition of my art, and they invited me to show there. This was for me also maybe one of the first times I returned to Germany. I had to move from the hotel to the place where they opened my exhibition. And I felt almost like living through a dream, a nightmare, or something very strange. Seemed to me kind of also troubling feeling, you know. Are the Germans of today trying to show the world that they have become good people and they are using me for that? But then what happened to me 2 days after that is that I returned to that museum to have another look at my show, and there I saw teachers with German children, children all of them born after the war, and children that had to be taught what this country went through, because now I'm speaking of something that happened in the late 70s. And I realized that my paintings were a fantastic tool for these teachers to let the children look at my paintings and say what they see and ask questions. And then the teachers were able to move from these questions and tell them about the upheaval that happened in their own country. And at that time, I realized that something was already beginning here in the States with Facing History, this organization that is teaching teachers to teach the Holocaust. And I realized, although it was not planned, it was not a device that I have found, it was not something that I have kind of calculated, but my paintings became a tool of teaching. And while young people may be shocked or even scared by photographic images of human bodies being pushed by a bulldozer into a mass grave, and they won't like to know anything about it or hear anything about it, through my paintings, there is a way to approach tragedy. They can also speak of the man who made these paintings and what happened to him. Somehow it was really in Germany and seeing the German youth reacting to my paintings. And later on, then after my book was published more than 10 years ago, and then a few years ago when it was translated into German and it was presented at the book fair in Frankfurt, so I had a book tour of about a couple of weeks through various German towns with readings and speaking and so on. Yes, I felt, you know, it was an important document. My book as well as my art to speak of this enormous unsolved problem of how is it that people who have potentials of so much good, sometimes they use only the potentials of the bad which are in them, because I believe that finally in every human being there is that much good and that much bad, and then it depends on circumstances and on education and on so many things which are beyond the individual's control. Why some people choose this way, some people that way, and some people do not even have the choice. They are just pushed and made to do things that to us seem absolutely impossible.